Welcome to MM Plays, our podcast where we design, play, and discuss a game and campaign. Along the way, we will alternate episodes between actual play adventures and the analysis and discussion of games and design theories that relate to the campaign we're playing. For this campaign, we'll be using the mechanics of Cortex Prime, designed by Cam Banks. We randomly selected a theme and ended up with swashbuckling high school urban fantasy. So, join MM Plays as we explore and enjoy a new campaign.
I'm Chris Nizak, and I'll be playing Silas Flamesworth, son of the Flamesworth family with the frozen and fiery intertwined soul.
I'm Old Man Logan. I'm playing Henrik Gunny Gunderson, son of the enigmatic Winter Wind and rookie elemental mage.
My name is Jerry, and I'm playing Santiago Zircon. He is the rebellious and reluctant scion of a powerful magic family.
I'm Phil Vecchione, and I will be your GM.
And welcome back. Before we get started, just a reminder, our safety tools are on the table, the X card, as well as our rewind, pause, and fast forward from script change. I've handed out plot points. I believe it's looking a little thin. Let's see. Silas has a plot point.
Yes.
Gunny has a plot point.
Yep.
And leading the pack, T with two. When we last saw you guys, you were in a pack of SUVs heading back to the city, having grabbed Gabby and Jesse from their hotel room early in the morning on Thursday. And we just cut to you guys in Vale headquarters as time starts passing. The morning kind of gives away into the afternoon, and we see some montage of you guys like fidgeting in your chairs, somebody sitting, you know, laying down, standing up, pacing, etc. And finally, Victor, who had been at the Flamesworth house, has returned to Vale headquarters, comes into the waiting room where you guys are and motions for you guys to come with him.
I go with him.
Something's up.
And so you head into Victor's office and immediately notice that there is a ritual set up, but he invites you guys in and tells you guys to take a seat inside the ritual.
I sit in the ritual circle.
He closes the door and he looks at you all and he's like, relax, it's a privacy ritual.
Fair enough.
As we're still sorting some stuff out here, just keep it a little extra private. Just going to wait another minute for our final guest, and then we'll get started. And there's a knock on the door. The door opens, and Jürgen comes in, and he's still a little frail. He is walking with the assistance of a cane, and he comes in and sits next to you, Gunny, and looks over, like, if it's okay to just, like, give you a quick hug, kind of.
Oh, hell yeah.
Gives you a hug.
I dig the cane.
Oh, thanks. I've been patched up physically, but I still have a pretty decent amount of essence damage, kind of using it to get by. I remember you two from the SUV.
It's good to see you up and around, Mr. Gunderson.
Oh, thank you. And boy, you look just like your father.
I look at my dad wearing his suit with his button-down shirt and his tie, and I look at myself. I guess I do kind of dress like him.
NT?
Hello?
How are you?
Doing pretty well.
I haven't seen your mom or your dad in ages, but it's good to see you.
They're happy to know that you're back.
Good. Well, I'm happy to be back, actually. I did not enjoy my ritual time, and this last undercover operation is hopefully my last one. And he looks over at Victor, who gives him an approving nod. Victor then takes over the room. Thanks to your efforts, your classmates were able to provide us with the last bit of information about the ritual. So we now know that the ritual involves an online event where a new cryptocurrency called the Prospero coin is going to be purchased using the blood money that the worms have generated, which I think is in line with everything that you guys had come up with. As you had already put together, this will be enough to trigger the elemental event. What we know now is that Paula's part of the ritual, the part that takes place here in Buffalo, is to feed essence into the transaction using those collected souls that the worms had been extracting from people and use that essence to stabilize the formation of the elemental. So we also know that Gabby and Jesse were going to be summoned at the time that the ritual is about to start in order to help protect the ritual, like to help keep people out. While they don't know any details, they were pretty sure that they weren't the only two people that were going to be there to protect against someone trying to stop the ritual.
That makes sense.
So we don't have any extra details. They just know that they were going to get a text message with the location, and then they were supposed to just drive out and get there. Victor takes a sip of water, puts it back down. We know that the Vale Council wants the ritual to start so that it reveals all the other pockets of dragons and worms, and it gives us the best chance to actually disrupt the formation of the elemental. As part of that, myself and a good portion of the Vale investigators are being summoned to New York City. My superiors believe that the best shot at stopping this ritual is to go for the head and attack the Prospero coin launch, which is taking place somewhere on Wall Street, which means that Buffalo is going to be left understaffed when the ritual starts. I'm putting Jürgen in charge, and Ms. Cortez is informing the junior guardians that they're being activated for an emergency mission, as are you. I want you three to work with Jürgen, as he is in no condition to take on this ritual himself, and he's going to need your help. Over the last couple months, the three of you have proven to me and to yourselves you've been able to rise to the occasion time and time again. I want you three to lead the junior guardians Saturday morning and attack the ritual.
Yeah,
we can handle a local problem. I mean, we'll have Jürgen to mentor us, so it'll be fine.
There'll be a few Vale agents to assist as well. You're not going to be left completely alone. Ms. Cortez, of course, will be there, and I think it's pretty clear what needs to happen. I just want to make sure that you guys are clear that you're to tear down this ritual.
Now I'm confused. If Ms. Cortez is going to be there, why are we leading the attack?
There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. This is a large attack. There's going to be damage to the shroud. There's going to be people in the area. So we need the adults to be able to buffer the area.
Oh, because we're terrible at fixing the shroud.
I mean, you've done your job fixing the shroud, but there's also going to be a lot happening. Ms. Cortez also possesses healing magic. We don't want Ms. Cortez on the front lines in case anything happens to any of you.
Understood.
With a handful of what's left of what's going to be here for the Vale, and yourselves and the junior guardians, you have a little bit of time to prepare for what's coming up on Saturday. So take some time, get some rest. If you want to prepare anything for Saturday, you have a little time to research it, rituals, etc. And then Saturday morning, Jürgen's going to take you guys downtown, find a place nearby the bank, and get ready for the start of the ritual.
Okay.
Your classmates are going to be rehabilitated. They're being checked in now. They will start undergoing rehabilitation for prosperity magic. If they respond well to the treatment, you may see them in the fall back at school. Any final questions?
No, none at all. That makes perfect sense.
If we're all set here, go ahead and head out. But Silas, if you wouldn't mind staying for a second.
Sure thing.
Hey, I just want to make sure that you're okay with everything that's about to happen.
Do I have a choice?
No, that doesn't mean that you are or aren't okay. It just means that the circumstances dictate that you're going to have to do this one way or the other. I have confidence that you can do this. Your friends are very adept, and you over the last couple of months have shown an incredible amount of internal strength, carrying Mesame's essence, being able to balance all that all the way through reuniting her to her body. I feel like you have excelled past any achievements I ever had at your age.
Silas looks down and seems a little sheepish about that compliment.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I had never held anyone else's essence before, and I certainly did not in my junior year of high school adventure through the backroom dimensions, which wasn't even manifested at my age, of course. But still, you've had an exceptional year, and you've done exceptionally well. You've even manifested a second magical power.
I mean, some of these things are just circumstance-based. I wouldn't have this second power if I didn't have Mesame's soul inside of me.
Sure, but circumstances we can't control. Circumstances, like Saturday, are things that are thrust upon us. How we rise or fall to those circumstances is what makes us who we are. And you have consistently risen to those circumstances.
I mean, so is Gunny and T.
I agree with you.
Maybe more so than me.
You don't have to be modest in front of a Flamesworth. And he smiles at you.
Look, I almost lost it when we found out about Morris and what happened to him. Without those two guys, this wouldn't have worked. They kept me from going over the edge.
Well, that's what good friends are like. And when he says that, he also looks to the door. We are never alone. We are always connected to others. I have a lot of confidence in you guys for Saturday.
I'm only worried that we won't all make it out of there. We're asking a bunch of teenagers to go fight a battle on a war front.
I know.
I know what this is.
You're 100% correct. Tried not to sugarcoat it, but you're 100% correct that this is a full-out battle. Like you said, I hope that we all make it through this.
I'm scared, Dad.
I know. I'm scared, too. I'm scared for you. I'm scared as a parent, and I'm scared that if anything happens to me, I'm not going to be here for you for the rest of this journey. But we are Flamesworths. We rise to the occasion. It's okay to be scared, but let's be confident that we're going to make it through the other side of this.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, because if I'm not, then...
And he hugs you.
I just stop after he does that.
I'm going to see you at the end of the weekend.
Okay.
All right, go get him. You have time to each of you figure out something that you might want to do in preparation for the ritual. I'm going to tell you a few things in advance so that you know them, and then you can make your decisions. So the first thing I want to tell you is that every one of the things you did previously, discovering the location of the ritual, discovering the nature of the ritual, and capturing Gabby and Jesse, have a mechanical effect on the upcoming battle. Some of them I will tell you right now, and some of them I will kind of reveal later as we go. But the first one is, because you have figured out the nature of the ritual, you have an asset now called Working Knowledge of the Ritual. This one persists on the table. It's at a D8 currently. You can bump that up if you choose, but that asset will certainly help you when you confront the ritual. The next one is, the junior guardians and the few Vale members that you have are going to be a mob. This mob is made of 3 dice, 2d8 and 1d10. The d8s are the junior guardians. The d10 is the few handful of Vale agents that are now stuffed in with your teenagers.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
They're a character then?
Yes. So let me explain a couple rules about the mob. When we get into the battle on Saturday, you can treat the mob as a full NPC that you control, and you can take an action with it and roll their dice as is. Or you can draw dice out of the mob to assist you on a turn. So if you want the mob to act like completely on its own to take an action, feel free, and whatever dice are on it that you have not taken away, it can make a roll. But if you want it, like you need an assist or something, or you're going to do something and you want a little extra oomph, you are welcome to, on a turn, take a die from it and then return it when you're done.
Okay.
If any of those dice come up as a 1, the die goes down a size, and you need to name somebody from your class who is taken out. I say taken out. That doesn't mean killed. It means taken out. But if either of the D8s come up as a 1, shrink that die by a type and describe to me which one of your classmates goes down in the fight. Likewise, that group, because I believe it's D who has healing, as well as Miss Cortez will be on the outskirts of this fight, have healing. They can, as an action, take a turn to heal. They can roll against the difficulty, and they can raise that die back up. Those are a couple of the rules that surround the mob. This mob currently does not have a distinction, but could be given one if somebody wanted to create one as an asset. I'll save the other things for when we get started, but your other discoveries have had a mechanical effect on the overall flow of this whole battle. You've done well, and things are stacked in your favor, is another way to put it. In the meantime, let's go around the table and decide what you might want to do in preparation for the assault on this ritual.
I am going to sit down with my dad. We have no idea what's going to happen. And by the very nature of the fact that you're going to be there, that means that at some point you might need to defend yourself.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need this. I pull the axe.
I'm only going to take that if there's another one lurking around here somewhere.
Well, that's an excellent question. I assume, since it belongs to you, that I should be able to make my own.
I would like to think you should. I mean, you've been holding on to this one for me, and I appreciate it. And I'm certainly in no condition to go wielding it right now into battle, but I do appreciate your concern for my safety. So as long as you can manifest something, I'll take my axe back.
I focus for a moment. Look at this. Mine looks pretty much just like his, except it's got two blades, double-headed. Other than that, it looks remarkably similar.
It's not made of gold?
No, it's not made of gold.
Not yet. So Jürgen takes his axe back and he looks at it. Looks a little scuffed up here, but none worse for the wear.
It's seen a little use.
Spins it in his hand for a second and lets it fall into the pocket dimension where it's stored.
And hopefully you won't need it.
Hopefully I won't have to send it to you again.
Yeah, let's hope.
So, you're magical and now you're off to fight your first giant apocalyptic battle.
Yeah, because that's the way I would have put it to keep myself from being totally scared shitless. Sir.
No, it's fine. It's my first apocalyptic battle as well. These things aren't exactly a daily occurrence around here.
No, but we have good people.
Your friends seem very competent.
They are. And the junior guardians are pretty good too.
I've heard this class is pretty exceptional.
We got a solid bunch. I think we'll be ready.
Good. All we got to do is just, you know, fight for almost our very existence on Saturday. So, I don't know. Do you want to do like some real father and son thing? Because I can't go home yet to your mother. There's not time to solve that problem. Do you want to get like a burger or something? I don't know. It seems weird, but it seems like we should catch up.
I'm totally fine with that.
T?
T is going to go to the Junior Guardians because throughout this entire game, he has been spending time training and fighting with the Junior Guardians. And he's going to get them together and we're going to talk about what it's like to be in a real fight. We've been in three or four of them now. We have kind of an idea on how these people tend to fight. And he will spend after school the next couple of days just training them to fight as teams.
In the Grove. By the way, just to remind you, right, of the Guardians, right, of the entire class, there's you guys. Bo and Mesame are tied up with you guys. And then Gabby and Jesse are now in jail, which leaves Robbie, Archie, Danatella, Ash, Dee, and Natalie. So do you want to give them an asset?
I'm going
to
give them an asset, which is going to be teamwork training.
All right. Teamwork to make the dream work.
I'm going to help them.
Okay.
We're going to spend the next 2 days not just training. We've been spending a lot of time training, fighting each other. We're going to spend 2 days training using our abilities in sequence. Who's best at balancing who out, how to watch your back, how to fight as a team, that sort of thing, and pushing harder and harder.
All right.
What die type are you giving it to him at?
Let's try for a D10.
Okay. I'm giving you my Flameworth die, because I've been training my entire life, even though I wasn't magical.
It's true.
So that's a D8.
All right. I have 2D10. That's the difficulty level that you've selected.
This is going to be school, because it's teamwork. I've got Bo helping me. I've got your D8, you said?
Yeah.
Your D8. This is probably emo.
Emotion?
From the heart?
Okay.
Yeah, probably emo. I'm leading this group, so I'll say my name. But my name doesn't mean as much, so I'm going to take a D4 on this to get an extra plot point.
Okay.
I'm used to hanging out with a Flamesworth. My name doesn't carry the kind of Flamesworth credit that real...
It actually sucks that I came to help because I'm a Flamesworth. So
that
like,
still does
that,
it.
That's why the D4 is there. Everybody keeps looking at me.
Yeah, that's
I'm
exactly
like, no,
it.
No, listen to him.
But I think since you're going with emo, right, even though you guys are physically training, this is like you speaking from the heart to them about like what it's like to be in a fight and the emotions of it.
We can do this. We've succeeded so far by being a team. Gunny and Silas and I, even when we were fighting each other, we never stopped having each other's back. And this is how we do this.
Ah, those were the days.
Emo's a great leadership stat, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. Setting the difficulty, 11.
That is a 15 with a D10 effect die and a 1. Two ones. You know what? I will spend, because there was an extra 5 in there. I will spend an extra plot point to make that a success and bump that up to a D12. We're going to need it later on.
There you go.
Oof. Okay.
I'm going to get the plot point back anyway, because you're going to do something with that.
So I think that I'm not going to penalize the Guardians for this. I'm going to put this on you.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a whole lot of responsibility. It is a D8 because there were two.
I love the
ones.
Idea of the yep. burden of leadership being on T.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's what this is, right? Like, you've given them the pep talk, and like in the middle of giving them the pep talk and going through this fight and just watching them, and like occasionally one of them gets knocked down, mm-hmm. and you start to realize that if like somebody gets taken out in this fight, part of it's now on you.
Oh, 100%.
I actually would like to, T, if you would help me get rid of my, your anger is showing during this training session.
Yep.
To help establish you as the leader, where you help me fix my anger as I am probably berating Natalie for something she did wrong because I'm worried that she's going to get killed. So Natalie, she uses a dueling knife and she's a diviner. And she just messed up, even though she thought she knew what I was going to do, or she actually knew what I was going to do. I just overpowered her with my magic. I'm like, you can't just assume that you know what everyone's going to do. You actually have to be able to fight. This is a problem. You're going to get killed out there.
And Silas?
Yeah?
She knows how to fight. She hasn't fought the way you and I have fought.
I know. That's what I'm trying to show her, how to get not dead.
That chills. Like, everyone else in the grove, like, kind of stops what they're doing when Silas says the word dead, and everybody just starts looking at the two of you.
Think about Mesame for a second.
And she's over there. Okay.
You've already done the impossible. We've brought her back from the dead. We've already overcome some ridiculous odds. We're doing this with a bigger group of people this time. We didn't know much more about fighting when we did our last one. They will be okay here. We're going to get banged up. And it turns out the rest of the group, we're going to get banged up.
There's nodding heads, right? People start nodding like, yeah, yeah, of course we would, yeah.
But we've got two healers. We're an organized group, which is something that they have proven that they're not. Every time something goes wrong, that group scatters.
More nods.
And more importantly, we're going to have you there and Gunny there. And you're a motherfucking Flamesworth. You've got a fire inside of you. Don't direct it at them. Direct it at who our real enemies are. And when you feel like you're going to snap, I look over at Mesame. Reach for her too.
So to overcome your anger is showing at D8, I will use Emo, which is a okay. D8 these days. Since he said you're a motherfucking Flamesworth, I'll use Son of a Flamesworth. That's my distinction. I'll use School, because this is very much a conversation that we just had. You want to help me?
Yeah, he does.
I'm playing on your connection to Mesame here, because you've got the strong emotional connection. And I know that as much as you guys fire each other up, she can also calm you down. So that's Emo, D10.
While you're rolling that, I look over at Natalie and I go, that was a pretty good pep talk.
Yeah, he seems to be pretty good at this. I always thought he was just kind of a slacker.
Hell no.
13.
Stop rolling high-ass numbers.
You can do it. We believe in you.
I'm going to...
You're going to drop it to a 4 to get the point.
Yeah, of course I am. Well, that didn't work. I rolled 2 ones, and I rolled a 10. And I rolled a 1 on the die that T gave me.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, that didn't go the way we thought it would.
Let's see. I'm definitely buying the ones. You're stuck with that anger. That may or may not work against you. It'll work against you at some points. It's not going to work against you at other points.
It was a good speech, Jerry. My dice did not help us.
I think I'm going to disrupt the teamwork.
Silas turns, looks at you when you say, look at Mesame. I look at Mesame and I feel her apprehension too, because we're about to go into a terrible fight and we all might die. And she's already had this near-death experience. So the anxiety is probably ramping up between both of us.
Yes.
And I look at you. You have no idea what we're about to get into. Everything we've been dealing with has been small. This is going to be an all-out war. One of us, maybe more of us, are just going to die. And then I storm off.
There's a definite chill effect over the Guardians. You're able to kind of keep them focused and everybody keeps working, but there is a tension now that is sitting with the Guardians. Come back to Gunny. Is there anything else you want to do?
I had a thought. But in light of the fact that Silas stormed off like he did, I'm going to take T aside. I need your help.
Whatever.
I'm a little worried. We're going into a big, big prosperity hullabaloo. I need something. Pep talk me. Tell me I'm not going to use it. I don't know. Like, I'm legitimately worried.
I think we were for a while too, but we're not anymore. You had every chance to secretly sneak around and use this money for your own good. Every single time. You've used it in a way that might have benefited you. You've been upfront about this. You've talked to Silas about it. You've talked to Vic about it. You've talked to me about it. So you used a little prosperity magic and it made your life a little bit easier. And I'm going to be honest, I think that's probably how Silas and my family probably got our money back in the day too. But you never let your moral compass push you away from the fact that it was wrong to do it for the wrong reasons. And just because easy money is easy doesn't mean that you're just going to abuse it. Every single time you've come back and said, this is what I want to do, this is why it's important to do it, and this is how I'm going to keep it from becoming a problem. You are still grounded in this. Your dad never gave up. Even when he was in that ritual, he didn't give up. He still had what was in him to send you the axe, and the Tykaza fell to you, that you could do the right thing. You've got that inside yourself as well. You have what it takes to resist this. You got this. And if you start to get a little bit out of line, I'll just ask Silas to slap you once or twice.
He will.
I know he will. He might even slap you without me asking, but I'll be honest, I think right now he probably wants to slap me more than you.
He needs to let off his own steam. But
mm-hmm.
All right, build a pool.
There's my emotion die again.
Straight emo, baby. And we got our D8 from, we'll go mage. And we're going to go with Sins of the Father. And we're going to drop it to a 4 for the extra plot point.
Sure, your dad's been a hustling prosperity mage undercover for years.
Yeah, damn right.
You seem to manage it under control. I mean, you must be able to have it under control. 11.
Ugh. I got an 11.
A worst prep scene ever.
That's not enough.
It's not enough.
Did you roll a 1?
I did roll a 1.
How many dice did you roll?
4.
No, you could spend a plot point to push it up, but then he might just like push it back up. I don't know.
I don't want to trade plot point for plot point here, so I'm just going to leave it where it is.
What's it currently at?
It's an 8.
Let's move that up to a 10 and grab yourself a plot point.
T's pep talks are great.
I'm almost as good a speaker as I am a ritualist.
It's like you gave a really good speech, but just convinced Gunny that it's okay to use this magic if it's needed, because I'm not going to fall to it.
Yes.
I'll just do it because I got my friends to back me up.
Yeah, I don't have to have this control. If anything happens, Silas has got me.
Yeah, and T has got me too. It'll be fine.
My friends got my back.
Oh, man.
That is exactly how it not goes in every movie, right? Like, this is the moment for clarity. No,
none of that's happened, right?
None of that's happened.
I'm still angry.
He's insecure. You're giving in to temptation.
We've demoralized the group.
You inspired and then demoralized the group.
It's not T's fault. It's my fault. Like, it's totally me.
I love it. Okay.
Feels very on point for these characters.
Friday comes and goes. Training continues. Silas takes off. It's Saturday morning. You guys are in a building across the street from the Gold Dome. The Veil agents seized it in the morning. You guys came in the early morning to the back of the building, and you're all in there waiting. This place is some sort of office, and you've all been told, don't disturb anything, don't take anything, just grab chairs, sit down, and Jürgen will tell you when it's time. You'll all know, is what Jürgen says as he's standing with Ms. Cortez. You're gonna feel it.
It is just a bunch of teenagers sitting around playing on their phones.
Yeah.
Archie's networked up some like games for people to play if they want to. But otherwise, it's just people hanging out looking at TikTok.
Bo is sitting there with her Gothic Lolita makeup, and she's giving T battle camouflage, blackening his eyes.
The best part is when she does it to every one of your snakes.
Yes.
And this snake?
Yep.
Oh, you too, right? Touches up that one.
And they lean right down.
Yeah. Everybody gets a little. Mesame looks at you.
I'm just sitting with Mesame off to the side, away from people.
She looks at you and just nods. She already knows how you're feeling. You already know how she's feeling. But you can tell that in her, there is this small amount of rage. The idea that this is what she was going to become, fuel for this ritual.
It's not helping my anger.
Right. She's trying to maintain an air of calm, but there is an anger at, like, there are other crystals with souls in them.
I squeeze her hand.
She looks at you and she just sighs and shakes her head from the side. This is so fucked up. That could have been me.
That's okay. We'll get justice for all of those people that it did happen to.
If there's any way that we can save any of those crystals, we have to try.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't know if the Veil can put somebody who's been completely ripped out back, but still, like, I remember what it was like to be in that crystal once I was reunited. It's terrible. the part being inside you, that was difficult, but you were a great host. It's not the same. The crystal is inhuman. It's void of anything. If they can't be restored by the veil, they just have to be freed from those crystals, but not consumed in some fucking ritual.
I lean in close to her. If that's the case, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to get them, and then we're going to get them out of there.
Yeah, we're going to get them. In that moment, there's just this icy pale to her. We'll get them. And she exhales, and you can see her breath for a moment.
And at the same time, there's a little bit of flame flickering around my eyes.
He has one last thing. He pulls out one of his old concert t-shirts. He takes his blade out, and he cuts it into strips and makes a bunch of long little bandana sashes and gives one to each of the group. Remember, we're a team here. Whatever's about to go down, look to each other. And he'll give each one, put it on your arm, put it on your hair, gives everybody, some of them make it into, for their tie their hair back, some put it as a bandana, some wear it around one arm, but he goes around each one of them and shakes their hand and gets them ready for this. And then he stands up and waits and turns away from them for a second so they can't see how much he's like, well, fudge.
And then there's this ripple that just passes right through the room, and you all at the same time know that the ritual has begun. And with that, I will place out onto the table shroud damage D8. That is now out there. It may come into play on some rolls or not, but it is also, it functions as a countdown timer to how much damage the shroud is taking. Ones can be used to buy it down or buy it up. Jurgen looks at all of you. Okay, you guys know what you need to do. Go in there and stop that ritual.
Let's do it.
Stay with your swim partner. Let's go. And he kicks the door open.
Buddy system.
Join us next time for the conclusion of Children of the Shroud. Thank you for listening to Mr. Mark Plays. Now let's do some Patreon shoutouts before we get out of here. Let's start with the Royal Court. We have the Polish Ogre, our very own Polish Ogre, Lars Henrik Evjan, the Lord Out of Time, Jim Likes Games, the Royal Merchant Emeritus, the Chromatic Chameleon, the Queen's Spy Mistress, J.T. Evans, the Queen's Librarian, Schmitty, the Keeper of the Labyrinth, Andrew Dacey, the Warden of Whiskies, John Carney, our very own Court Necromancer, keeping me alive when I die, Craig, the Lord of One Name, Tiberius Starcrash Smith, the Baron of Britannia, Eric Bontz, the Weregator, and Kevin Lovecraft with that lovely royal beard. Now we have some other patrons that I want to mention right here. John, Chris Constantine, Miko Froelich, Eric Simon, The Deliverator, belongs to an elite order, a hallowed subcategory, I love that reference, Bridget, Athelis, not that Billy Mitchell, but some Billy Mitchell, Fiona, Kathleen Halperin, Christopher Gamelk, Michael Asperum, Joseph Knoll, Carlos, Heptalema, Michael Draper, Gubano, Alice Cura, Jim Fitzpatrick, Brantley Harris, Steve Radabaugh, Richard Wyatt, Joseph Peralta, Brian Kurtz, My Brett, not My Brett, but somebody's Brett, Jared Rasher, Eileen Barnes, and Brandon Barnes. Thank you so much for being our patrons. If you'd like more content like this, check out polygamero.us. We are the Polygamers Podcast Network, where we help you play your best games. If you are interested in supporting this show and other shows on the Polygamers Podcast Network, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/MMP. If that's not your thing, we'd still love your support by listening. We have Pandas Talking Games with Phil and Senda. It is car talk for your RPGs. Ask them questions and they will answer them. There's the Gnomecast, where gnomes get together to give game mastering advice in order to try to avoid being thrown into the stew. They want to help you, but they also don't want to die. Lastly, there's Thaka with Advantage with Ange and Jared. They talk about D&D topics while covering the history of the game and how it's evolved through the years. With that, the Misdirected Mark Podcast is a Polygamerous Podcast production, where we try to help you play your best games. Mic drop. We out.